Since the time of the recording of this podcast, Paul Life Sciences and Cytiva have been united under the Cytiva brand name. Welcome to the Cell Culture Dish podcast, executing efficient scale-up and large-scale viral vector manufacturing. I'm Brandi Sargent, editor of the Cell Culture Dish. Today's podcast is a panel discussion featuring experts in the field of gene therapy manufacturing and specifically large-scale viral vector manufacturing. I'd like to welcome each of our panel members and ask them to introduce themselves.
I'm Margherita Neri, and I'm the director of the Vector Process Development Unit in AGC Biologics.
My name is Andrew Laskowski, and I am the product manager of the iCELLis bioreactor for Cytiva.
My name is Andrea Trigal, and I'm the lead for the genomic medicine upstream field application specialist in EMEA.
I'd like to start today by asking you, Margherita, if you could please tell us a little bit about the work that you do at AGC Biologics.
Yes, I am the director of the Vector Process Development Unit in AGC Biologics Milano site. My unit is responsible of the development of processes for large-scale production of viral vectors for gene therapy applications. And we are also the first contact for new clients that need vector batches and ask our CDMO.
Can you talk a little bit about the types of viral vector platforms that you're operating at AGC Biologics and at what scales?
Yes, in Milano site, we offer AAV and the lentiviral vector production platforms, both in adhesion and in suspension. Scales from 50 liters to 200 liters, but we are also expanding also till 1,000 liters.
And in your work with gene therapies, can you talk about some of the differences between the adherent cell culture and suspension cell culture paths to commercial manufacturing?
Yes, this is a very interesting question. So the first consideration is that the vast majority of clinical trials in gene therapy have been sustained by vector produced from adherent cells, typically with processes performed in cell factories or cell stacks. And now that those products are going into the market, sponsors need to increase the scale with the minimal comparability exercise. So systems that allow to increase the scale in adhesion are very useful in this perspective. Regarding suspension processes, they are surely appealing from a scalability point of view because historically, they were used for traditional protein bioproductions that can be scaled till thousands and thousands of liters. Of course, this needs to be already demonstrated for vector production that are performed mainly with transient transfection. And actually, mainly they are at 200 liter scales for LVV and maybe 500 till 1000 maximum for AAV. And another important aspect in this comparability between adherent and suspension system, we have also to take into consideration the quality of the vectors in terms of impurity profiles. We know that with the adherent process, since the cells are retained attached to the growth support, the levels of host cell protein and host cell DNA are lower compared to the suspension processes. And this is very important, and in particular for the lentiviral vector, for example, that are used in vivo, where the requirements for impurity levels are very challenging, considering that for lentiviral vector, we do not have an affinity step for the purification.
That makes sense, and I really appreciate you clarifying the differences there. I'm wondering, for companies, though, who are looking to stay in adherent culture, how do you help customers scale from their current processes, for instance, from flatware to larger scale production?
When customers ask for a scale increase for an adherent process, we usually offer our iCELLis platform. And at first, we demonstrate at small scale the feasibility of the transition from the flatware to the bioreactor with the iCELLis Nano. And then we have developed a full process meaning comprise upstream and downstream in Aesilis Nano, that is perfectly representative of the full scale one. And we propose to use the vector produced in this way with this scaled down model to perform a comparability study between a clinical vector, let's say, and the future commercial or large scale vector. And this comparability should be based not only on the comparison of titers, residuals, and all the CQA, but also we suggest always to perform a test of cell transduction on the target cells, for instance, CD34 or T cells, and the evaluation on these transduced cells of transduction efficiency, for example, vector copy number, residuals, and functionality.
You talked about using the iCELLis system. Is it scalable?
Yes, I have to say that in our experience, the system is scalable. Of course, some work is required prior to perform the scale-up from iCELLis Nano to iCELLis 500, because before to proceed with the scale-up, we did a lot of experiment in order to verify in iCELLis Nano all the parameters that are slightly different in the full scale, such as the ratio between the falling film height and the volume inside the bioreactor. But after these preliminary studies, the productivity data that we obtain in the full-scale runs are very comparable to the ones that we obtained in the iCELLis Nano.
I wanted to switch gears a bit here. And Andrew, I'll direct this question to you. Could you please talk about any recent improvements that have been made to the iCELLis bioreactor?
Yes, I'd be happy to do that. The iCELLis bioreactors have been a commercially available product for a little bit over 10 years now. And I would say that we've been launching new products and improvements to this family on an almost annual basis. For the iCELLis 500 bioreactor specifically, we launched a significant hardware upgrade in 2017. That's the iCELLis 500 Plus. And this hardware upgrade allows that system to be implemented into GMP clean rooms much more easily. We've also continuously upgraded the single-use system or the vessel for the iCELLis 500. We began offering genderless sterile Presto connectors on the vessel back in 2017. We integrated more stable and reliable single-use sensors in 2019. And finally, we've most recently launched what we call the Generation R vessel, and that occurred in 2021. For the iCELLis Nano, we launched the MPath control tower with a new docking station and new software that we call the PaulLink software back in 2018. Then we followed that up in 2020 with the launch of a second generation vessel, as well as weldable manifolds. And then most recently, we launched what we call MPathLink software, which is our second generation control software for the iCELLis Nano. It includes new features such as enhanced multi-phase recipes with user-defined transition points, a mobile phone application that will allow users to monitor and control the bioreactor from the convenience of their smartphone. And finally, we launched the ability to receive email or text message alerts on your smartphone if your bioreactor is an alarm. And finally, we've done some additional work to validate the iCELLis Nano bioreactor to a higher standard of electromagnetic compatibility. The system now has immunity against more severe electromagnetic interference events, which makes the bioreactor more stable and reliable for our users.
That's great. And I know that, Margarita, you were one of the first companies that received the electromagnetic compatibility upgrade. Can you comment on the reliability improvements?
Yes, with the previous version, we experienced some electrical issues that affected some nano runs. But after we received the full electrical upgrade, we didn't experience any more these events. And this upgrade improved our successful batch completion rate by over the 10%.
And I wanted to go back a little bit to something that you said earlier about when we were talking about the scalability. I'm wondering, do you have any data you can share on how the scaled down iCELLis Nano is representative of the results in the iCELLis 500?
Yes, we have performed more than 100 runs, I have to say, in iCELLis Nano, and about 10 runs in iCELLis 500. both with lentiviral vectors and AAV. And the development work of the process was performed with a GFP transgene as gene of interest. And we obtained very comparable titers in Aeselis Nano and Aeselis 500 in the bulk vector. For example, for AAV, we used the packet bed 333 square meters, and we obtained for AAV6, 7, 10 to the 10 vector genome per ml. And for AAV8, that is a released serotype, 1, 10 to the 11 vector genome per ml. Regarding the lentiviral vector production, here we use the 133 square meters packet bed, and we produce an average of 4, 10 to the 7 TU per ml. And this data was also confirmed with different gene of interest from different clients.
That's really excellent data. What have you found to be the biggest benefits of working with the iCELLis?
So first of all, it was the very first instrument that allowed us to scale up our, let's say, gold standard process that was in cell factories. And we were able to scale till 200 liters very consistently, exploiting the efficient control of gases and temperature that, of course, is absent in the traditional cell factory asset. And we also moved to a more compact and closed system that is more suitable for GMP requirements, in particular for commercial products. And I also want to underline that we have a very good experience with the Pol technical support that helped us in this transition from the cell factory to the bioreactor.
I'm so glad that you mentioned technical support, because I think that is just so important. Could you talk about your experience specifically working with Pol and the support that you received on the iCELLis?
I can give a very good feedback about Pol technical support, but from a scientific and engineering point of view. We were supported in the development of our platforms, in particular by Andrea Pietregal. And in the understanding of the instrument use in a very accurate way. And moreover, the presence of a local technical support in Italy, it was a key factor in order to guarantee the speed and the readiness of intervention in case of some issues with the instrument.
That's so good to hear. Andrea, you're on the call, so it's nice to be able to ask you. I know that Margarita just mentioned your support. Can you describe a little bit about the kind of support that you provide for iCELLis customers overall?
Sure. Let me start by saying that today I'm here actually representing the worldwide upstream field application specialty team, who is a team of scientists that are bioreactor and bioprocess experts, and thus iCELLis technology experts. So our mission is really to help customers successfully running their processes with our iCELLis technology. But let me offer a little bit more of detail on how we actually facilitate that. So we start by listening to our customers to try to understand the process that has been developed. For instance, in flatware, as Margarita just mentioned, but actually any other cell culture platform. And then we translate that process, or we help designing a process that will be transferred to the iCELLis. We'll then come to client side and lead an operator training to execute that experimental plan. And I actually like to say that after we finish that training, our collaboration and work is only starting, as we plan follow-up meetings to discuss the data generated and discuss process optimization and eventually process scale-up. So in a way, we are really a technical and scientific team that helps troubleshooting technical and process-related challenges till manufacturing implementation.
And Margarita, I'll go back to you now. You've got the scalability and the support that we've talked about. Can you talk a little bit now about how the iCELLis Nano and the iCELLis 500 Plus have been integrated into your manufacturing platform?
As I mentioned before, we have developed an AAV platform with the 333 square meter packet bed that allowed to obtain 480 liters of bulk vector for a release serotype. While for Lenti, we develop a platform with 133 square meters to obtain 200 liters of bulk vectors. And now we are able to offer the platform to our clients. And we are also working in parallel, again, in development in order to increase the packet bed area till 500 square meters, so the maximum size for both vectors in order to reach quite 800 liters of bulk vector. And I think that the possibility to offer this kind of technology to clients, it's very important and has been very useful for our CDMO to invest in this kind of technology.
Thank you so much for that insight and information. It's just really interesting and helpful. And I want to thank everyone on the panel today for sharing their experiences and their insight and expertise with us. I just wanted to close out by asking Andrea one last question. And that is, with the 200th iCELLis 500 Plus bioreactor being delivered recently, it's obvious talking to Margarita and also just knowing the industry, a very popular and successful system. What do your customers feel is the biggest benefit?
I would say it's really the fact that enables manufacturing of biologics. This is really done by reducing the process footprint. Actually, an iCELLis bioreactor can replace up to 6,000 roller bottles or 800 cell factories. And this ultimately just leads to the reduction of the operations costs that are associated with the manual operation of all of that flatware. Another result is really the reduction of process risks linked to the demanding amount of the manual operations. The next point I would say is that the scalability from bench to manufacturing scale that was already referred here, and also the ease of use and implementation, including features that were designed to operate the iCELLis 500 in a GMP clean room, such as 21 CFR Part 11 compatible software. I think this is a fair summary of the main benefits, I would say.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much to all of you for participating today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to add one note in closing. Since the time of the recording of this podcast, Paul Life Sciences and Cytiva have been united under the Cytiva brand name. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Cell Culture Dish podcast. To listen to other podcasts related to the discovery, development, and manufacture of biologics, please visit us at www.cellculturedish.com. And for downstream process topics, www.downstreamcolumn.com.